You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our 15th episode of season 7 for the episode Training Day, written by Emilio Ortega Aldrich and Rebecca Rosenberg, and directed by Ruba Nada. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen. And I'm actually your only host tonight. Amanda was on a trip to Mexico, and she is fine, but she was in a bit of a situation down there, and so she can't make it onto the podcast this week. So I'll let her explain whatever she wants to explain about that when she is back next week. I actually don't even really have any details about it. I was just told, hey, I won't be able to podcast this week. So I am recording a podcast by myself, which I haven't done in a while. I think probably the last time that I did a podcast solo was probably like a Thunderquack podcast or something like that. Like maybe one of the exclusives or like a roundtable. Maybe it was one of our sort of State of the Union ones from like year two of Thunderquack or something. But even then, I think I may have had some guests on Skype. Or we were using Google Hangouts back then. So even then I may have had that. Pepper is around, so he might decide to give his opinion on this week's episode of Arrow at some point. He did watch it with me the other night. So if you care what a cat thinks about Green Arrow, I guess it's as valid as any opinion you've heard on this podcast. You might hear that. But it's kind of funny to be on my own this week of all weeks. Because after we recorded last week, of course, the news came out that Arrow will be ending in season 8 with 10 episodes. We got a lot of messages, a lot of emails from people pointing out that's essentially what I said on the podcast last week. But we recorded last week on Tuesday night, and then I think it was Wednesday that they announced the end of the series. So I had no prior knowledge. I want that to be really, really clear. That was me hoping and guessing, not even really guessing because I didn't expect them to do it, but certainly hoping that they were going to wrap this show up before it runs out of gas. I mean, this week's episode would definitely support the idea that they're coasting on fumes at the moment. This week's episode, not what I would consider a great episode. It's more so the fact that they've kind of painted themselves into a corner and now they need to basically blow the whole thing up in order to move forward, move on, move past it. The kind of crummy thing about this is that like the writing's kind of been on the wall this season that the show would be either undergoing a major change or coming to an end. And the fact that it is coming to an end, it's really upsetting to me that they're doing certain things with some of these characters with the flash forwards that are going to make guest spots on other shows that are still running or even characters moving over to another show almost impossible. So and I guess we'll know more as of the next episode, the one coming up this coming Monday, where we're going to get a lot of Mia's backstory. But it's definitely like what they've done with Dinah Drake is, it's good for this story, or it's okay for this story. I don't know if it's good necessarily, but it definitely adds another layer to this whole official vigilante storyline that they're going with this season. But it's kind of crummy because one of the things you would hope coming out of the end of this series is that they might take some of the stronger characters who still have stories left to tell and spin them off into their own shows. The fact that Black Canary, Dinah Drake on this series doesn't have any other affiliations. She's not romantically entangled with anybody. She's not sort of, she has no responsibilities in Star City other than obviously being captain of the Star City Police Department. But, that's something that's very easy to move away from. They could have very easily spun her off into a Birds of Prey or had her go over to Batwoman or, there's a half a dozen things that they could have done with that character, that now they won't be able to do because they've taken away her powers. Or at least we think that they've taken away her powers. We don't know in the future storyline if she doesn't have them or if she just chooses not to use them. And more than likely we're going to get a reveal at some point of her that she still has her powers in the future and that her vocal cords have been healed and whatnot. But until we get that information, the status that we're at right now is that it would be very weird for her to spin off into her own show or go over to, because she's originally from Central City, so go over to The Flash for a season and be a guest star over there. Go on Legends of Tomorrow and have two canaries on one show. That would be kind of cool. But it's kind of weird. Curtis leaving, I the fact that they're kind of setting up Renee as almost a bad guy in the Glades, that's a little odd considering that the show is ending. And when they say like, oh, you know, we just found out that this is I don't necessarily agree with that version of the truth. I think that there are some people who were probably finding out for the first time in that crew when it was announced last Wednesday. Or not when it was announced, but when Stephen Amell and the producers, I'm assuming, told everyone that the show would be coming to an end. But I think that Stephen would have known with a quite a bit of advanced knowledge. he would have known months ago that this was at least a possibility, that this was on the table. And I think that the writers definitely knew that either it would be one more season or a season and a bit. But I'll tell you, that crossover, we've been talking about it since then. It seems very obvious to me that Oliver is going to sacrifice himself during the crossover next year. And like, that is the most logical thing that they could have set up with his scene with the monitor. And in order to sort of preserve the characters of Kara and Barry, that's what makes the most sense. Now, the other thing that's interesting is that Crisis on Infinite Earths, the end result of it in the comics is that you end up, instead of having the multiverse, you end up with one definitive Earth in the comics. And the version of the story that they could be doing here is that we will end up with one definitive Earth for the DC TV Arrow universe. And in that universe, it might turn out that we have another Green Arrow or that something in the timeline has changed. We could have some Flashpoint type stuff happen. It's not unlikely. So with all of that said, it's kind of, you kind of take everything with a grain of salt. Nothing is set in stone. It's comic book storytelling. People come back from the dead. People I mean, like, on this show alone, several people have come back from the dead, Oliver himself included. So, yeah, I mean, just because something is going to happen doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And just because something can change doesn't mean that it will change. So it's all kind of up in the air, and we'll see. We'll see what happens next year. But we will be ending with 10 episodes. At which point, how to phrase this, Quiver will be over, but Amanda and I won't be done. What we do here on Quiver will transition into something new, but new isn't even the right word for it. It's just more of the same. It's just not unencumbered by the responsibility to talk about Arrow every week. That doesn't mean that we won't talk about Flash and Legends and any of the other shows that we're watching. So there will be DC TV included in that. But I think it'll be a little bit more like our format on the Thunderquack podcast right now, where we do the exclusive podcast for Patreon supporters. It's probably going to look like that, but it's going to look like that on a weekly basis rather than a monthly basis. So that'll change things up a little bit. And what I'm thinking is that we're probably going to do 3 weeks on, 1 week off, and keep that as our rhythm. So that it's not necessarily that there will be three episodes in a month, but that we'll do 3 weeks on, take a week off, and then come back and do another 3 weeks. And then another week off, and then 3 weeks. And that way we're never kind of having to go through the sort of marathons that we have to with Arrow or, with, Star Wars Resistance or any of the other regular shows that are covered. So the format will be a little bit different, but the content will essentially be the same. It's just tangents won't be tangents anymore because, there won't be any such thing as a tangent on the Thunderquack podcast. So I'm still working out the details of that. Once I've got that sorted out and I've had some time to discuss it with Amanda in person, as well as probably talking to Curtis and maybe a couple of other people, we'll make a big announcement. And actually, it's something that'll probably go out across all of the podcast feeds. So it'll be hard to miss. But in preparation for that, I would say definitely go to Facebook and follow Thunderquack Podcast Network. Go to Twitter and follow us. And I actually just before I started recording the podcast created an Instagram for Thunderquack as well. So that's going to be the best place to get information. But that said, if you're following us on any of the Quiver channels, you'll be able to get updates there as well. We'll definitely let everybody know what we're up to, what's happening, and where we're headed with everything. But there's a lot of time between now and then, so I wouldn't get too worried about it. We've still got several episodes left this season. I mean, what did I say? This is the 15th episode, right? So we've got 7 episodes left of this season. That's not a small amount. that's a decent amount of content left, even just in this season, and then the additional 10 next season as well. So and that'll cap it off, and then we'll move on to bigger and better things, I think. So hopefully everybody who's listening to this will follow us along. Hopefully you listen not because you love Arrow, although maybe you do. Probably you do if you're listening to this right now, but hopefully you're listening because you like the content that Amanda and I put together for everybody out there listening. So that's not going to stop. It's going to continue, and go follow Thunderquack Network on all of the social media channels. It's got a bunch of different, it's not as clean as some of the other podcasts where it's like Quiver Podcast on everything. Yeah, go find it. If you just search, there's no other Thunderquack Podcast Network. So it should be pretty easy to find in that respect. And along with that will come a revamp of the websites, and there'll be some big changes over the summer, I think, going into the fall season. And we'll see what comes of all that. That's kind of all of my stuff up front. Here, we'll just jump into an email really quick. This one's from Derek Rich. Nice to see the team back together, but working for the cops. That market that William and Mia went to looks like the market that Barry and Ralph went to. There's actually two things that Oliver is hiding from the team. I don't think that Emiko was the one that killed Diaz. So there are two things that Oliver is hiding for the team. From the team. What are the two things he's hiding for the team? One of them is Felicity being pregnant. What's the other thing? I'm not sure what the other thing is that Derek is referring to. You don't think that Emiko is the one that killed Diaz? I would agree. I don't think so either. I think that's a bit of a red herring this week. I don't think it would be that reveal is a little bit weird if that's the truth. So we'll see. Time will tell on that one. Yeah, the market that Mia and William went to was very similar to the market that Barry and Ralph went to in a recent episode of The Flash. I wouldn't be surprised if they reused the location. That actually would make a lot of sense. So, yeah, I think you're probably on something there, Derek. Awesome. With that, why don't we get into the episode? Let's just get right into the episode. This might be the most on-topic episode in Quiver history because I have no one to distract me or go off on a random conversation with. But here goes. I'm going to hit play right now. So here we go. Previously on Arrow, everybody needs to be careful about being vigilantes. And then Dinah is revealed as having them powers, so the mayor deputizes everybody. And then we've got the whole thing with Mia and William with the cassette, which is going to be an important piece of this week's story. And then Felicity revealing to Oliver that she's pregnant, which is interesting. They're handling this very interestingly, and Felicity herself is like Emily Bett Rickards is doing a very good job of playing this different part of Felicity's life. She's kind of there's an apprehension and excitement at the same time, and I'll speak from experience. I think that's pretty accurate. So I'm kind of talking over the actual episode right now. Oliver and the team are being trained. And the weird thing about this training is that it's happening inside the police station. I don't think that's the way that things are generally done. I don't think that a lot of training happens literally inside the police station. Felicity not too happy about having to do things legally with the crummy computers that they have. Yeah, it's a bit of a change for Diggle to be sitting and taking orders. As recently he was kind of shelling out the orders at Argus. Is a bit of a step down for him, but any questions? And I love this when Renee is like, we have our own, he knows we have our own uniforms, right? And that's going to be a little bit of a point of contention in this episode. The mayor obviously wants them to do things a little bit differently to avoid all these anti-vigilante issues. You know how it's going to go by the end of this. Let's see. So just Dinah kind of explaining to everybody how they need to, they basically need to follow the rules right now because they're on a bit of a razor's edge. It's going to come out later in the episode, but, she says it right there. There's no reason why I can't be the captain and the Black Canary. And later on in the episode, she's actually going to have to choose, and I think that she regrets her decision when she gets there. I think that she chooses captain, and later on realizes that's kind of forsaking the team. There's so many extras in these scenes in the in the police station. We're back at Oliver and Felicity's apartment. So much space. This is not a real apartment in Vancouver, because Vancouver apartments are a fraction of that size, specifically the living rooms. They tend to be pretty tiny. But I like that Oliver, that aspect of his character, that he likes to cook and that he's a good cook, it constantly pops back in. I always enjoy that they keep that thread. And that's actually in keeping with the character in the comics, because Oliver Queen, very famous for his spicy chili, which we saw a couple weeks ago. But they've kind of extended that out to the fact that he's quite a good cook. And if you remember back, let's see, season five, I guess, when they were off on their own doing their thing, Felicity and Oliver and living in, I can't remember what city it was, Ivy City. And Oliver was getting quite good at cooking at that point. So, maybe there's an alternate Earth where Oliver never gets washed up on the island and everything is fine. And he just becomes a cook, just becomes a chef. This is funny that I'm starving. I'm also nauseous. Crystal was watching in the background when I was watching the episode on Monday night. She was kind of around and she heard that line and she thought that was pretty funny, pretty accurate. And I'll support that. I can't necessarily agree with it because I didn't experience that part of the pregnancy myself, but I definitely experienced it from afar. it's always like, I want food, and then the second that she would eat food, then the nausea would come. So now we're in the flash forward, and Mia is it's so funny. This is almost a beat for beat sort of. It's the prison again. That's where they are. They're in the prison again. That's the prison set. Yeah, and this is almost like a beat for beat sort of like the broader plot points of what happened on that episode of Flash a couple weeks ago, when Barry and Ralph needed to track down some arms dealers and whatnot. It was the same sort of thing of like, hey, I know my way around on this stuff, but you're too much of a goody-goody. You're going to get us into trouble. Just stay here and don't touch anything. And then here's, you know, William. That was, Ralph was saying that to Barry. And now here we've got William. He's supposed to just stay put, but he's going to get himself into a lot of trouble. This guy, really, really milking him for that micro cassette player. Something that, you know what, even today you'd have a hard time, I think, finding a personal recorder that still plays cassettes. But I'm sure that you could get one somewhere. Do they not have Amazon or eBay? Like, the only place to get this is in a black market. This guy is not doing well with this weird orange or green goo and these bullets. And so one of the good things about this episode is that we are back to the Freak of the Week format, which I appreciate. That's something that I've been saying for a few seasons now, is that they need to sometimes go back to their roots for more than the first six episodes of the season. Fast forwarding through commercials now. And this season they've really held to it. Since Oliver got out of prison, it is really, really just the Freak of the Week story. Not that they're freaks, but just sort of the bad guy of the week. We got to track them down and stop them from destroying the city. We're back now. Oh, sorry. It's late at night, and the bad thing about recording by myself is that there's no, I don't have the ability to have Amanda talk while I yawn. So you guys might hear me yawn a couple of times during the course of this. It's been a rough week, but I suppose not as rough as other people's. So they're trying to figure out where this bullet is coming from. It dissolved on contact. And they're trying to figure out the toxicology of exactly what's happening with the victim. But obviously, the Blackout Gang, these guys sound like some criminals. They are some bad dudes, as Renee says. And there's a little bit of that tension there. When Renee refers to the Glades, and he kind of says to Officer Bingsley or Lieutenant Bingsley, I can't remember if he was a lieutenant or not, but the he was the one training them at the beginning, Bingsley, and kind of taps him on the shoulder and says, "The place you guys tend to forget." We're back in the flash forwards, and this little girl is awkwardly but very obviously bumping into William to steal something from him. You figure just the wallet, but it turns out she's actually taking the cassette player. So he's been fleeced. He got played. Felix played him. Saw him coming and going, and William kind of walked right into it. So here, Mia's going to use her intimidation tactics, but Felix is prepared with some sort of a little, like, police radio thing, and there are cops all over the black market, I guess, watching for vigilantes. But there haven't been vigilantes in forever, so that's, like, the weird thing about this is, like, oh, we're on constant watch for vigilantes. But there are no vigilantes. They've made a really big point of that over the course of the season. So I don't know exactly why they're so intense about it, but whatever. This is, I guess, like the C storyline with Laurel. And she's kind of on her own this episode, but we're going to get to see another character. We're going to get a little bit of a surprise twist, actually, in this episode. This is good. Slabside doesn't say no to the DA. So it is astounding to me that Earth 1 or Earth 2 Laurel has managed to keep this job. Not having any formal law training or knowledge of the law, but hey, at least she's got a better knowledge of the law than Oliver, who he's gonna make a few bad decisions this week. I'll tell you, this is a lot tougher than when I have a co-host. I'm gonna talk a lot. I get demands. So this is kind of the stuff with Oliver from earlier this season. Oliver promising him his freedom, and Braunsteiger is a little peeved that he's still hanging out in jail. What's the character's actual name? I'm always like, I can never remember. Let's see if I can find this. I've got the thing opened already. Nope. The fandom entry for this episode is not complete. I'd say it's pretty empty. But essentially, he just wants to see his son. Laurel, I keep wanting to say Felicity. Laurel is going to have to go and figure out how to make that happen. Which, of course, she will. Of course, she's going to. Here we go. Training day. Let's take a look at IMDb. Ben Turner. He's actually just credited in this Michael Jai White as Ben Turner. I don't. I guess maybe they've never called him Bronze Tiger. So what do we got here? It's hard for me to follow along with this and look at my phone at the same time. They have to wear SWAT uniforms. They're not gonna be able to wear their gear. There will be no suiting up this week, or at least that's the way it appears at the moment. But apparently Pollard actually just wanted them to wear standard police blues, which would have been even worse. But yeah, they get to wear SWAT gear at least. But here's Dinah. She's having a hard time. She's kind of torn between these two worlds, trying to figure out how to get everybody to work together. So here we go. Alpha team's in position. They've got some info on these sellers, and they're going to try and catch them in the act. Bravo's in position. This is kind of tough for Felicity. She can't do any sketchy hacking here. She's got to do all of her hacking legally, and it's not gonna go so well. Their systems are not quite as advanced as what she's used to working with. Well, this is gonna be the hardest part. Talking over action scenes is hard enough normally, but when I'm just talking to myself, I suppose I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to you guys, but I am by myself talking to you guys. That's the big cheese at Midas Medical. So it's kind of a big deal there. Man, look at all those bullets. They can't engage until the buy is complete. So Oliver's kind of questioning. And, man, what happens here? I'm trying to remember exactly what happens. Oh, yeah, and she says, now I CPD freeze. So what, it's not really clear to me what goes wrong here other than the fact that they're just not working together. But theoretically, I mean, like, Dinah makes the call and everybody should move as a team. But I suppose that because these guys just aren't trained police that some other stuff is going on. They're using the poison bullets. Fall back. So Oliver chucks a grenade and destroys the bullets. And this is one of the important parts. Dinah tries to use her powers, but discovers that it's not going to go so well. So they've just blown up all of their evidence. The satellite has crashed. Dinah doesn't have the ability to use her powers. She still has her powers. It's not that she's lost them. It's just that it hurts. So I'm fast forwarding through commercials again. She describes it later. It's like a razor blades or whatever in her throat. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a way to get around that in the future. But as of right now, powered down. I don't like the word powerless. It's got a little bit of a connotation to it. And I don't like saying that. She's not powerless. She's powered down. Since she can't use her abilities without causing herself some harm. And who knows, there might be permanent damage if she uses her powers. Hopefully we'll find out more details. We're back in now, and Bingsley is chewing him out. He's got three of their stripes on his sleeve. If I knew more about rank insignia, I would know what that means. But I don't. It's above captain, because captain has two. So I know that because of characters like Captain America and Captain Marvel, which if you look at their costumes closely, you'll notice that in the MCU especially, Captain America very often will have those two, they're called chevrons, the sort of arrows pointed. They're pointed down on this, but they're always pointed down on Captain America. I think they are. And then Captain Marvel also has the two stripes on her uniform. Captain Marvel, by the way, great movie. Go see it if you haven't seen it yet. Spoilercast is up on YouTube, and the MP3 is available over on patreon.com/thunderquack for supporters at $5 and above. So if you're interested in hearing what I have to say about that, it was me, Curtis, from who I've podcasted previously with on the Pullbox podcast, as well as on Cartoon Afternoon. It was he and I, and we were joined by Curtis's wife, Katie, to kind of keep us grounded in the whole feminist part of the conversation, which was really great. It was a good conversation. We talked about a lot of really cool stuff. We spoiled the snot out of the movie. So if you haven't seen Captain Marvel yet, first of all, you're making a huge mistake with your life, because it's great. And second, don't listen to the podcast. Until you do, go watch it and then listen to the podcast. Watch it on YouTube or subscribe over on Patreon. So here, this is where what I talked about earlier, Dinah having to kind of choose between doing it the right way, the way that she's been trained, or doing it the way that they normally would. And Oliver is having a hard time with this. And I didn't quite understand this. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me until later in the episode when it sort of explained that this is it's a time thing. They want to get this done as fast as possible. But I really feel like this is where it's interesting. If you've ever experienced toxicity in the workplace, you get a group of friends in the workplace, and you or even just one friend in the workplace, and you go away from your coworkers and gripe about the decisions being made by superiors or sometimes by your colleagues, and that venting can sometimes get out of hand. And I feel like that's what this situation is. Felicity and Oliver are kind of feeding into each other's negativity and blowing this out of proportion, and really like egging each other on into what they do later, when they should have just waited for the warrant and done things by the book. But because they don't, they cause more problems than they solve. What are Renee and Dinah talking about? So this is where it's so funny that Renee, when he was introduced as a character, was a hothead and obnoxious. And thank you so much for scratching that right now, Pepper. That's great. Sorry, Pepper's scratching his scratching post, and being a little bit of a dummy right now. But hopefully he calms down. But now, in this season especially, and a lot last season, he actually tends to be the voice of reason on the team more than anyone, I would even say. Because I think the biggest strength of that character is that Renee knows who he is. He knows what he's about. And I think that what he went through last season when Oliver beat the crap out of him, and he had to kind of figure out who he was to a certain degree, kind of got broken down a little bit and came back from it, and he came back a lot stronger. Here's Oliver. He's with the classic line, "You failed the city." This guy's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." He's gonna play it. Oh, they've jammed his phone. Oh no, system error. No one's phone does that. No one's phone is ever like system error. Oh, I guess he was pushing like an emergency button. So maybe he has some sort of special security system that he thought he was going to take advantage of, but that did not in fact work. So Oliver's going to threaten to give him the dip. So some Who Framed Roger Rabbit stuff going on here. This is basically just this bubbling acid, which, like, if it's giving off that much, if an acid was giving off that much fume, whatever, I feel like putting it in a closed barrel would be a really bad idea. Fast forwarding through commercials here now. Sorry. I got distracted by myself. Because eventually it would like pop. And so they're basically like big soda cans. And if that's bubbling like that. But anyways, I don't know, because I'm no science mathematician. But I don't know. It just seems bad. It just seems like a bad idea. Legends of Tomorrow preview. I have no idea what's going on Legends of Tomorrow. I'm so behind. We're back now. And the mayor is apologizing to this evil medical pharmaceutical guy who we know is up to no good. We know that he's part of this. But because of the way that Oliver went about this, something that I learned. So I took law in grade 12, in my final year of high school. And it's just one class. So I am by no means an expert on the law. But one of the things, the purpose of the class, the teacher, he sort of introduced it at the beginning. He was like, look, by the end of this class, you're not going to be lawyers. But the purpose of the class was essentially to equip you to understand enough about the law that if you ever do get in trouble, or if somebody you know gets in trouble, that you'll at least be able to talk to a lawyer and know what they're talking about. And I'm so glad that I took that class, because it's come in handy. Not that I've ever been in trouble with the law or anything, but it's come in handy in instances like this, and especially in film school when I'm talking about legal stuff, about liabilities and whatnot, and that sort of thing, which is a big part of film school and learning how to run a production. To already have that knowledge. But Oliver is missing. It's a really big gap in his knowledge, considering he essentially works in, I mean, now he does. Now he literally works in law enforcement. But even just as a vigilante, you need to understand at least the basics of the law in order to operate inside that. Pepper, knock it off, buddy. I'm talking over the reveal here. Connor Hawk is actually Bronze Tiger's son. So what's going to happen here? Is Ben Turner going to make it out of this season? I think that all signs are pointing to no. But more importantly, it's somewhat inconsequential, because what difference does it make? The show's getting canceled next season. So unless we wanted to see that character show up on The Flash or one of the other shows. Sorry, I had to stop there for a second because Pepper was very close to my computer. And I was a little afraid that he was going to step on the keyboard and stop the recording. I might have to get him out of here in a second. Yeah, he's being a little bit of a jerk. Laurel got Turner what he needed, or what he requested. So he gave her the details about what he saw the night that Diaz was killed. I guess I didn't even really talk about that. That's the whole point. Is that Turner has the details on who murdered Diaz. So now Laurel thinks she knows, at least. Like I said earlier, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. I'm just going to go ahead and say that computer that Dinah is sitting at, that's a Surface Studio. Product placement from Microsoft. It's an amazing computer. There is no reason that someone in the position that Dinah is currently in would need a Surface Studio. Surface Studios are for creatives. If you are not a creative, you do not need a Surface Studio. The whole point is, if you look at the arm that it's on, it lowers down so that you can use it essentially like a giant tablet. But the reason you would want to do that is if you were like photo editing or illustrating or something like that. It's uh, It's not better for running word processing and Excel spreadsheets. So I don't really know why they would spend so much money. Like the Star City Police Department just has budget to burn, I guess, that they're spending thousands and thousands on computers that aren't really necessary. But I just talked over all of that, that whole thing between Dinah and Renee, where she revealed to him that her powers are wonky, and she says, "I'm not the Black Canary anymore," and he rightfully tells her that those powers are not what made her the Black Canary. Man, my voice is starting to get rough now. This is going to be tough. How much more of this episode do we have? Oh boy. Well, we're like 2/3 of the way through. We're almost there. This is where Diggle uses detective mode and deduces that Felicity is pregnant. But man, we haven't gotten a scene with these three characters, this type of scene. We got a scene with these three characters at the Argus headquarters a couple weeks ago, I guess. But sort of like the heart to heart, Diggle giving some advice to Oliver thing hasn't happened in a long time. But they kind of subverted that by getting into the whole pregnancy thing. What are they? Yeah, so they want to do it the old fashioned Team Arrow way. Yeah. So Diggle being the voice of reason, essentially saying like, "Hey, look, you know, like there's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this." And I like that Diggle is basically saying like, "Hey, you haven't even given this a chance. You gotta stick it out a little while longer. There's going to be some growing pains here." And I like that how he says, you know, something better. But obviously we know it doesn't work out. This is one of the problems with doing the flash forwards and having the stakes be so high in present day, and really, I suppose the stakes are high in the future, but it's very difficult to know that because it's really unclear what the goal is. I suppose there's this whole thing about the city blowing up, but they don't seem to be on any kind of a clock for that. They don't know when it's going to happen. There's no pressure around finding Felicity. They just want to find Felicity for emotional reasons, which is fine, but it's really kind of, I don't know, it's very low stakes from week to week with the flash forward stuff, as much as I want it to be the more interesting part of the season. I mean, I guess it is, it technically is, but like we're way more curious about this and want to see more of these characters than we do the present day stuff, but they're also not focusing on it nearly enough. And everything's just so vague. Like I don't know. It just feels like they could be a little bit more explicit about the world there. So world building is one of my favorite things in genre storytelling. And sometimes it's very in your face, like the Matrix. The world building is done with exposition and a lot of lengthy monologuing. And then there are other things like Blade Runner is a really great example of a movie with really great atmospheric world building. So the environment does a lot of the storytelling, and that's how you sort of get the idea of like, oh, this and this. So that even if you're not necessarily reading every bit of text that's on the screen at times, or because there's a lot of stuff that scrolls by in that movie, you still get the general idea of the world that they live in. They're doing a little bit of the environmental storytelling with the future stuff, with the flash forwards, but not enough for me to really understand what, We know what Star City and the Glades are generally like right now, but it's really hard to understand where the line is. And the bigger question is what's going on in the rest of the world. Are there vigilantes other places? Is it just Star City that's outlawed them? Or is that like a global thing? Do they have superheroes running around and they're just staying out of Star City, and that's why Star City is this haven for bad guys? I really feel like if they explained some of that stuff, they went into that, I don't know, I'd just be a little bit more comfortable in the future storyline. So I need to take a drink. I've been talking a lot. I'm looking at the waveform here, and which is the recording, and let's see. Yeah, I've been talking for almost an hour straight at this point. Suit up. Yay, there it is. And then we got a commercial break, so fast forwarding through this. But I don't know. It is this thing of like, I very much want them to focus on the flash forward stuff a little bit more. And that's what we're going to get next week. So it's not a big deal, but I would do it every week. I would switch the show over and make it the flash forwards and the flashbacks. Or the flash forwards being the present day, and they're not the present day, but the contemporary timeline of the story. And then the flashbacks being, present day. And so then when they need to line something up with the crossovers or whatever, they can still do that, but it's a bit of a moot point now, isn't it? Because the show's going to be done. And I don't think that they'll make a format change. We're back from commercials now. That would be really ridiculous for them to make a huge format change. Oh, sorry. For 10 episodes. For context, it's 10:53 at night. Which I know is not the latest, but it's been, like I said earlier, it's been a rough week. So I am quite tired. I love that Mr. CEO's solution to getting brought in by the Green Arrow, being brought into the police. Here's Dinah kicking ass and taking names, proving that the power is not what made her superpowers. That her abilities are not what made her the Black Canary. She earned that title by being Dinah, which is exactly what Renee said to her. And Juliana Harkavy, oh my God, she's so great. Anytime they give anybody that Black Canary mantle, they just amp that character up. It'll be really interesting next season to see if they do any sort of flash forward or flashback, considering it is only 10 episodes. But they've established so much with the flash forwards this season. But at the same time, are they going to undo some of that? Are they going to... it's so interesting. And I think the most interesting part is knowing that, because I'm pretty sure Katie Lotz, I think we talked about this before, but she's posted on Instagram the image with the other canaries. And I think she's going to be in this episode. Yeah. So on IMDb already, Katie Lotz is going to be in the episode Lost Canary, which is 3 weeks away, April 15th. Oh, it's more than that, because actually it looks like we're skipping a week in there. We're going straight from March 25th. Yeah, there will be no episode we'll skip 2 weeks, actually, if that's the case. Wow. That'll be nice, a two-week break after Inheritance. We've got two more episodes and then a break. Actually, that's perfect timing, because Star Wars Resistance ends this week. And then if we've got 2 weeks of Arrow left, then I've got some time to finish some tasks I've got around the house, one of which is kind of important for Thunderquack. I've been trying to get the office redone. We were supposed to redo it before the season started, and then Amanda and I would have a dedicated, sorry, I'm fast forwarding through commercials, a dedicated place to record so we weren't just recording in the living room. It'll help the audio, which is the biggest thing for me, because we'll be in a smaller room. So there won't be quite as much background noise, and it won't be as sort of tinny and echoey. We're back in now. And it'll help with some of our timing, because if we can go into a room and close the door, it won't matter if Kara is still awake, because currently we kind of have to wait for her to go to bed. Hence why we've been recording so late in recent history. So hopefully that 2 weeks will actually give me a really good opportunity to get that all done. And that was really interesting. If you've got the time, I would say go back on a couple of those shots of Dinah there. They were actually using a bit of a soft lighting technique there. You'll notice that there was a little bit of like a fuzziness around her, kind of a glow around her, in a couple of those shots. And, you generally do that to make someone seem like kind of angelic. It kind of gives them a little bit of an aura. And it's interesting that they chose to use that in those moments. Kind of give Dinah a little bit of a softness. They keep doing it every time they reverse back to her single shot. They're doing it to Felicity a little bit as well, but it's not as noticeable. I like that Diggle's like, I'm going to hang back. What is that? Oh, yeah, that's the ginger candies. Heads up, if you've got morning sickness and it's really bad, and ginger candies are not helping, all of the sort of homeopathic remedies aren't helping you, just go talk to your doctor about actual medication, because there are medications to help with the nausea from morning sickness, because Crystal has had to take them in the past. I mean, I guess she's taking them presently as well. That's not a secret. If you're experiencing extreme morning sickness, I would recommend that, but talk to a doctor, because I'm not a doctor. I don't know if you guys know that. Not really an expert in much of anything other than talking about TV shows on podcasts. Am I an expert in that? I don't know. You be the judge. I used to podcast by myself back in the day when I would do, when I started Frontlines. The whole first season I did by myself. There's a reason why I got a co-host in the second season. This is not very much fun. My throat's kind of starting to hurt a little bit. And I've never done it over a podcast like Quiver, where I can't just talk until I'm done talking. I have to. So Laurel just confronted Emiko about killing Diaz, and Diaz is kind of Diaz, and Emiko's kind of like, you have no proof. You go ahead and tell them. It doesn't make a difference. Who are they gonna believe? Emiko is a bad guy. Heads up. It's kind of cute, the beginning of this scene when Felicity is like, am I showing? And Oliver's like, no. I think of these names. Lucas. I'm sure that must be a reference to something, but I don't know. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know. And I wouldn't even know how to begin to look that up. I guess if I looked up Felicity Smoke in the comics, this is not a good idea to do this on my own, but, there we go. Felicity Smoke in the DC Comics. I'm just going to do a really quick partnerships created by... Oh, this entry doesn't have... This is just the Wikipedia entry, and it doesn't have... Let me see. Lucas. I'm just wondering if in the comics she has a son named Lucas. See, because the original, the origin of Felicity's character actually has a lot more to do with the comic book Firestorm than it does with, I mean, than anything with Green Arrow. She was not a Green Arrow character. Yeah, because she was a main character in the original Firestorm comics. And then New 52. Yeah, this isn't really giving me anything. So I don't know if that. So some anybody out there who knows, feel free to email us, mail@corporatepodcast.com, and let me know if there's a connection there between a comic character and that reference to the name Lucas. Oh, they got the tape playing, and Felicity is I'm really tired of all the mystery box stuff. It drives me nuts. It's just like, just tell us what to do. Tell us what's going on. Knock it off with the secrets. There were so many steps to get to this point that, like, it's okay to tell them now what to do. You'll know what you're looking for. I hate that stuff. I hate it. Yeah, so basically Felicity said, like, here's the thing. Go give it to the team, but the two of you don't come looking for me. And then Mia's like, yeah, so we're not going to listen. I talked over the part of the episode just at the beginning of this scene where William kind of says to her, like, oh, you're just like Dad, which was cute. And they're going to go into the Glades, which is a bad idea, I think. It sounds like it's a bad idea. Next week on Arrow. Next week is all Mia. It's like the episode's all focused around Mia. A hero is born, literally. So we're going to get the backstory of Mia and everything that went down with her and with Felicity and Oliver and all that that's led to the future that we're in right now. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be an episode that mostly focuses on the future storyline with flashbacks to Mia's past, which is going to be nice. It's going to be nice to answer some questions, but it's also probably going to raise more questions. So that's something to look forward to. I'm going to wrap it up because I am dunsies. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can stay up to date with all the latest Arrow news by heading to quiverpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast, and on Twitter @quiverpodcast, and on Instagram as well @quiverpodcast. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @arkwulf, ArkWulf, and you can follow Amanda on Twitter @AKonkin, AKonkin, and as she says, add an 86 to that for Instagram. And you guys know we're part of the DCTV Podcast Network. Head to DCTVpodcast.com to check out all the other great podcasts in the network. And we're also a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out the other great podcasts in that network. If you like what you hear, you can support us in two ways. First, by going to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some super cool merchandise. Or as Mel Brooks as Yogurt would say, merchandise. Store.thunderquack.com. The other way to support us is by heading to patreon.com/thunderquack and kicking in with your pledge of support. A dollar gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast with Amanda and I, as well as the Facebook group. And at higher tiers, like I said earlier in the episode, $5, you get the MP3 version of the of our YouTube stuff. So right now, mostly spoiler cast, but every once in a while we do a roundtable as well, when there's a topic to talk about. So yeah, patreon.com/thunderquack. Head over there if you want to support us. We appreciate everybody who does. We couldn't do it without your guys' support. And stay tuned. Stay tuned to all of the different Thunderquack podcasts and the channels. We got some cool new stuff coming in 2019. Like I said, Rebel Cells is going to wrap up for Star Wars Resistance in the next couple of weeks. And at which point I'm going to have some free time to get in and do some other stuff. And so there are going to be some announcements coming soon about what we're going to be doing, as we move forward into 2019. So there's some stuff to look forward to there. And I'll leave it at that. If you follow me on Instagram, if you follow my art account on Instagram, Archangel Wolf, ArkAngelWulf, on Instagram, you may have actually already seen a couple of teasers about what's coming, but, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we will be back, next week with the episode Star City 2040. And I guess I get to say it. I never get to say it. I think this might be the first time I've ever said it to actually outro the episode. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Pretty sure that's the first time I've ever gotten to say that in that context. I think I've said the words, but I've never actually had to outro the podcast on my own before. I always have a guest. Cool.